everyone, and welcome back to the THN Prospect Podcast. My name is Ken Campbell, and I am joined, as always, by our draft guru, our prospect...
Piper,
our prospect, our future seer, Ryan Kennedy, who knows all things prospects. So let us start with, we'll start out with some quick hits here, Ryan. First of all, you know, as we all know, Minnesota Duluth won the Frozen Four Championship, second title second title in 3 years, I think?
8 years.
Second title in 8 years. But the third time they've been in the final in 8 years. So, yeah. So it's a pretty impressive run, nonetheless. First of all, I'd like to talk to you about the coach there, Scott Sandelin, who, you know, I would have to think is going to be generating some buzz as one of these next great coaching candidates for the NHL.
Yeah, and it's interesting when we talk about college coaches, it's such a unique atmosphere where you can truly build a program, and sometimes it's hard to leave. You think about guys like Red Berenson at Michigan, yeah, and Jeff Jackson at Notre Dame, and those guys are legends. Scott Sandelin beat them both for titles. It was Notre Dame this year with Jeff Jackson, yeah, and Red Berenson the first time.
Right.
So it's interesting, but he's definitely building something nice there. And, yeah, you know, you look at Dave Hakstol with the Flyers, and, you know, game one didn't go too well against Pittsburgh, but...
Not so good.
Yeah, no, but not we've so seen, good. You know, Hakstol make the transition to the NHL. And I think it's worth, you know, looking at what Scott Sandelin has done up there in Duluth, and it's kind of funny. I wonder, and maybe this is like Minnesota heresy, but are kids there going to start growing up wanting to be a Bulldog instead of a Gopher?
It's tough.
But
yeah, yeah.
I mean, Bob Motzko, now he's with the University of Minnesota, so there'll be good competition there.
It's
a great time because, I mean, yeah, St. Cloud is good. So just a lot of good hockey come out there. And
even Mankato.
You know, they have a lot of good players. And, you know, when you look at this Duluth lineup, I think the most encouraging thing is that they're going to be really good again next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, Riley Tufte, the Dallas first rounder, he can come back. Joey Anderson and Mikey Anderson, the brothers, a Devils prospect and a Kings prospect there, they can come back. And, of course, Scott Perunovic, who's up for the draft this year, rookie of the year in the NCAA, and he was their leading scorer from the back end. He can come back too, and there's a lot of interesting things about him.
Well, yeah, and I mean, probably the most interesting of which is that anybody could have had him last year in any one of the 200 and whatever picks were made in the NHL draft last year. I guess it would have been 217, seven rounds times 31, and he didn't get picked.
Yeah, and I was talking to a scout the other day about Perunovic, who's is a great puck-moving defenseman, you know, a little bit undersized. Stop me if you've heard this before. But he said he has never seen a player make such a leap from 1 year to the next. Mm. He was saying, you know, Perunovic played for Cedar Rapids in the USHL. He said if you were looking for him, you wouldn't have seen him last year.
Wow.
But clearly, Perunovic made a huge leap. And going back to Sandelin, he let Perunovic be who he is. He let the reins loose. And I think that was important for his development that, you know, he's a guy where he can make a ton of stuff happen offensively. And, you know, there might be some mistakes, but you can live with that if you're willing to. And he also played for the World Junior team for Team USA this year, winning a bronze medal.
Yep.
And scouts also like that because it proved that he could hang with the elite of his age group. So, you know, I started off recently thinking like, okay, well, maybe he'll be a second round or early third. And now it's like, is he an early or is he a late first rounder? Like, what else? What else do you want in a prospect?
If you got a couple of picks, or if you're a good team. But to me, Ryan, you know, like to me, it's like, what's a year? What's a year? Big deal. He's 19 years old. Okay, so if I'm a team, I slot him in where I think he fits with all the players in this draft. And if he's the best guy available, you take him. I don't understand why a team would be reticent about taking a guy. Because when you think about it, Ryan, this is exactly what the NHL wants.
Yeah.
The NHL wants to move the draft age to 19 for reasons like this. Mm-hmm. You know, they want that extra year to be able to evaluate these Scott Perunoviches of the world, mm-hmm. and kind of, you know, have a better idea of who's going to be a good NHLer. So to me, I mean, I don't know where this kid's going to end up going, but if you believe in him and you believe he's going to be a good player, take him in the first round, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, another good recent example of that is Henrik Borgstrom, the Florida Panthers first rounder, where, you know, he was passed over 1 year, skinny kid, he was going to the NCAA. Florida Panthers obviously liked what they saw, and yeah, he was dynamite for Denver, and, you know, he's already played a game for the Panthers at the end of this season,
yep.
So,
yep,
you know, they're getting started with him.
I think so. For school, yeah.
Yeah, for me, I like the 18-year-old draft. I think scouts, you know, they put in the work, and it's fun to forecast, but I also think that, you know, there's definitely those good second chances and even third chances in some occasions for evaluation.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so moving on to our second headline of the day. Philippe Boucher, the coach of the Quebec Remparts, has parted ways with his junior team.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very good NHL defenseman. Do you see him being a future very good NHL coach?
Yeah, either coach or even GM, because he was both for the Remparts, and he was also both for the Rimouski Oceanic. Just before that, he was actually named GM of the Year while he was with them. And what I like about Philippe Boucher is that he already has a great track record of identifying talent. Now, you look at some of the players that went through his systems in the queue. You had Samuel Morin in Rimouski. Mm-hmm. You had Adam Ernie, Anthony Duclair with the Quebec Remparts, Callum Booth as well, who we're going to talk about later. So he knows what he's doing. And a little anecdote that I think is kind of intriguing is, you know, obviously Philippe Boucher in his NHL days, known, you know, playing for the Dallas Stars. He was actually...
And the Buffalo Sabres.
And the Buffalo Sabres. But this is more relevant to my anecdote.
Oh, okay.
He actually is credited with discovering Seth Jones.
Huh?
Because Boucher saw him playing minor league hockey in Texas and alerted his friend Pat Brisson, the super agent, and said, there's a kid you might want to check out down here. He looks pretty good. So Brisson made a detour cross country to see Seth Jones, and obviously he agreed with Philippe Boucher's assessment, and the rest is history.
And now Seth Jones is going to help make Pat Brisson even more rich than he is.
That's right. Yeah.
that's really interesting. And I think, you know, you look at GMs and what you're looking for in a GM, and to me, the ability to spot talent and to be able to recognize it and value it, I think is still and always will be the most important thing.
Indeed. And, you know, on that tip, I can't help but think, is there a franchise in the NHL that has not been very good at identifying the correct talent that could really use a French-Canadian GM? I'm searching my mind. I'm just not sure. Maybe the name will never come to me. But that's life.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll leave that to your imagination. Moving along here, we've got the AHL Awards were just announced. Garrett Sparks of the Toronto Marlies wins the Baz Bastian Award as the top goalie in the league. No, not a real big surprise there. I don't think he's had a terrific year. Sammy Niku, the Winnipeg Jets prospect, wins the Eddie Shore Award. First with Garrett Sparks, Ryan, I mean, you know, Curtis McElhinney's contract is up. He's been pretty good here, and you know, but I don't think Garrett Sparks is a number one goalie in the NHL. But I think he'd be a really good backup, and I'm wondering, you know, I got to think that is the next natural progression for him.
I think that's safest, because if there's something we've seen, you know, in recent times with Scott Darling is, you know, be careful in projecting goalies as starters, particularly when they're in good environments. And, you know, Garrett Sparks playing for the Marlies, he's been fantastic for them. But the Marlies are a very strong team as well. And I think, you know, identifying what Sparks is at the next level, you're right, is very important. you know, because I think he's 24 right now, so I think it's fair that, you know, he got a lot of starts this year. Calvin Pickard obviously got a lot of starts with the Marlies as well. But I think, you know, if the Leafs can't, if they can't go with McElhinney, if they can't make that work, then I think Sparks could be the backup, and he could be the type of guy where if you're only playing him once every four or five games, that's okay. You know, it, being up in the NHL would be good for him to see those practice habits. And you're right. I mean, Freddie Anderson is the guy in Toronto. But you need to develop other options, and maybe Sparks ends up helping out another team at some point. But you want to develop him that way.
I also think with Sparks, Ryan, that, like I said, I don't think he's a guy that can play 60 games and be an NHL starter at this point anyways. But I think he is a guy that you'd feel pretty comfortable if Anderson went down for 2 weeks, that he's not going to, you know, your season isn't going to go down the crapper because your goaltending isn't good enough. I think he could carry a team for a short period of time. I just don't think he could do it for a long period of time. So, and then Niku, I guess, with the Manitoba Moose, got that call up late in the year. Looked really good on a team that has really good defensemen. I think the future's pretty bright for this guy, obviously.
Definitely. And, you know, talk about the rich getting richer. You know, the Jets, they've been so good at drafting lately. And Sammy Niku, I mean, really unheralded. And it's pretty interesting. You know, I think he was only the second defenseman after Justin Schultz to win this as an AHL rookie. So pretty good there. And I believe he was actually the youngest as well. I think he was a bit younger than Schultz was when he won it in the Edmonton system. But, I mean, you know, 53 points from the blue line. And, again, not a big guy. He's like 6 foot, 176. But, I mean, he's got skill. And if you're the Winnipeg Jets, this is just, you know, another option you have. And depending on how well they do in the playoffs this year, if they need to finesse their lineup, if they need to make some moves, they know that they've got this kid, Niku, who is already showing a lot of good things. And again, just asset management, knowing the options you have, just fantastic job by GM Kevin Cheveldayoff and all his scouting staff in identifying these players.
Well, it's interesting too. You look down Winnipeg's depth chart on defense, and you know, I don't know what's going to happen with Tobias Enstrom after this year. He's a UFA. I would suspect he'll be back, but you don't know. There is some possibility that this guy could jump in. I mean, they've got some good young guys. I mean, Joe Morrow scored last night, and Josh Morrissey obviously is they're both RFAs with arbitration rights. And then, you know, you don't know what's going to happen with Trouba still. It seems like that whole thing has kind of worked itself out.
Yep.
But you never know. So, and the one thing though, Ryan, is that, I mean, you can never have enough good defensemen.
That's right.
If you have 20, you probably need 20.
Yeah.
You know, so it's always good to have those guys around. Here we go. Now, that's it for the headlines. And now we'll move on to Ryan. You recently interviewed Flyers prospect Connor Bunneman of the Kitchener Rangers recently during the OHL playoffs. The Rangers, I believe, are down 2-1 into Saginaw in their second-round series.
Sarnia.
Yep. I meant to say Sarnia. I did. I knew it wasn't Saginaw.
Saginaw wishes.
I meant to say Sarnia. I'm just thinking, you know, like, a Sarnia Kingston final. What would that be the equivalent of in another sport? Like,
well, it would be like a Leafs Jets final.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
Which could happen.
It could happen.
But anyways, without further ado, here is Ryan's interview with Flyers prospect Connor Bunneman.
I'm here with Connor Bunneman of the Kitchener Rangers, and Connor, in the midst of the playoffs right now, how have you felt about Kitchener coming together for the postseason?
Came together real well. We got a real tight group of guys in here, and come up this first series in Guelph, it was big for us, scored a lot of goals, played very well, and now coming off of game one with a big win here at home, so we just got to get it done on Sunday.
Now, it's always interesting to me when junior teams, you know, sort of bulk up during the year. Obviously, you guys got some pretty big NHL picks with Logan Brown, Giovanni Smith coming over, really kind of stacked. How do you sort of, you know, ingrain those guys into the team and make sure that everybody kind of has their own role?
They're older guys in the league, so when they come, they know their role. They know they've been through it all. They've been rookies, so they when they come, they're leaders on our team. And obviously having more leaders is good for us and all the younger guys. But, yeah, all those guys are a big addition to our team, and they've done very well for us.
Excellent. Now, you're from Guelph, which is not very far from Kitchener. Did you grow up watching Rangers? Did you watch the Storm? Did you follow junior hockey, or were you more of an NHL guy?
No, I followed the Storm quite a bit. I came to a few Ranger games when I was younger, but mostly the Storm. Yeah, my first year coming to Guelph, playing for Kitch, it was kind of weird because everything just seems a lot smaller. Because when I was younger, everything was really big on the ice. But it was a little weird, but I saw my friends and family there, and it was cool. Yeah.
Now, you're a draft pick of the Philadelphia Flyers. They've been really stocking up in the draft, getting a lot of different types of players. How have you felt about your experiences with the Flyers so far in terms of rookie camps and them just, you know, talking to you about development?
It's been really good. Yeah, development camp was pretty tough, but I liked it. It was fun. I made a lot of new friends, and, yeah, they stocked up good. They got a lot of good prospects in the system, and they've taught me a lot. All the development guys, coaches, just talking me through new drills and stuff I need to work on this summer, so it's great. They've been really good to me.
Now, how do they see you at the pro level? Like, what sort of player do you think you could be in an NHL lineup?
Probably third, fourth line guy. I know that. I'm not a top goal scorer or one of those guys. I'm a kind of grind down low, get the dirty, greasy goals. So I kind of know my role that way, and I'm okay with it as long as they get a spot in that lineup.
Now, the Flyers have a very passionate fan base. Wondering, like, what's social media like for you since you were drafted by Philly?
It's been pretty good. I got a few followers since I got drafted and signed, which is pretty cool. And, yeah, I think this year rookie game was at the Wells Fargo, and it was basically sold out. It was a good experience, and it was a great fan base there.
Now, once this season is done, obviously you'll have a big summer. What do you want to work on before you try to go for that job in the pros?
Definitely my skating. That's one of the big things Philly has asked me to work on. One of my things I know I need to work on, too, get faster, because it's a lot quicker out there in the pros. And I know it's my all-around game. It's getting smarter, getting quicker, faster. So that's about it.
Thanks so much, Connor.
Thank you.
And now we move on to our draft spotlight for the 2018 draft. And this week we're going to look at Sampo Ranta. He's a left winger for the Sioux City Musketeers of the U.S. League, the United States Hockey League, Junior League. One of a growing number of kids from Finland who are coming to are taking this route to the NHL now. Like, they're going to the USHL, and I mean, some of them have gone to junior hockey. There's been a good number of them, but a lot of them are going, you know, like the Bjorkstroms and that are going to university. This guy's committed to Wisconsin, which is a great program for next year. What's your read on him, and what have the scouts been telling you about him?
Well, I'm very interested in Ranta right now because, you know, when I talk to scouts, they see a player with first-round talent. And, you know, for the USHL, other than the NTDP-affiliated kids, it's a bit of a lean year in that respect.
Okay.
So if Ranta went in the first round, he'd probably be the first – or he'd probably be the only non-NTDP guy from the USHL.
Okay.
But there's a lot to work with here, which is why he's intriguing. He's a big kid. He's fast. I had one scout say, you know, he goes from 0 to 60 – you know, faster than anybody else in the league right now. He's good in tight.
Never finish flat.
That's right.
Yeah,
he's good in tight. Great shot. The one concern is his hockey sense.
Okay.
You know, I talked to two different scouts who had the exact same sort of criticism, which was he's got all these great skills, but they're not sure about his hockey sense. They're not sure how well he thinks about the game.
Yeah, put him with smart players. Tell him to
there you go. I had one say, you know, they kind of reminded him of Jake Virtanen. Another was looking at Jason Zucker with Minnesota. You know, guys where, you know, they might not necessarily think the game at a high level, but they have so many other good tools that obviously, you know, they can be successful. Okay. So, you know, for Ranta, you know, he's going to be a guy that still needs some time. But what I like about the Wisconsin commit is that most likely he's going to be coached by Tony Granato.
Right.
A former NHLer who's done some great work already with the Badgers. So I think it's a good spot for him where if he needs to be coached up on the the mental part of the game versus the physical, because we know he has all those great skills. I feel like Wisconsin is a very good landing spot for him next season.
Good, good. And he was a kid also, Ryan, that played at the Red Bull Academy in Austria. I know Brian Savage was coaching there, and his son Ryan was there, and Noah Dobson and a few other kids that are pretty intriguing. I'm wondering sort of where that all kind of fits in, because that's a kind of a cool thing they have going there, isn't it?
It is, and that's something that I'm going to be watching for during the draft, is how many kids from that Red Bull squad end up going in this draft. I think it will be kind of a coming out party for the program.
Right.
You know, Ryan Savage, he's had a pretty tough year in the USHL. We'll have to see what happens with him. But Noah Dobson was fantastic in the Quebec League.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we'll see him, you know, top 15 for sure on the defense. So good for him. And then Martin Pospisil also plays in the USHL. He's a potential late rounder as well. So you add Ranta into that mix, and then Wouter Peters, who was actually drafted by Chicago, he played for Red Bull as well. He's already been selected by the Blackhawks, but it's going to be kind of fun, and it's interesting to see these different development programs and things that hockey folks are trying to do around the world. So, you know, good for the Academy for churning out some players early on in the experiment.
Excellent. So we move on now to the team spotlight, and this week's team is the Carolina Hurricanes, the GM-less Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Not a great spot in terms of their front office and how things went this year. And, you know, I look at this team and I'm like, okay, geez, you know, like Warren Fogle came up terrific. He had a great year in the minors and came up and all he did was score. Valentin Zykov, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, great little auditions at the end of the year, but I feel almost like, you know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you, or whatever it is. Or as George Bush said, we won't get fooled again.
That's right.
But, you know, I looked at that defense this year, and we talked about it, and I actually did a story on it. And we were looking like, hey, this defense is, you know, for the first 20 games, it was like, this defense is like Nashville East, man.
That's right.
It's like, these guys are going to be monsters in the NHL, and they all sucked.
Yeah.
They all had a terrible year. So I guess it's still a work in progress. But I mean, they do have a pretty good list, don't they, Ryan?
They do. And the one thing I still think Carolina needs, and they've needed it for years, is a true number one center. You can't succeed without one these days. And you know, Jordan Staal, that's your shutdown guy. Sebastian Aho, that's your number two guy.
Yeah.
And that's a void. And, you know, Martin Netisch, fantastic at the World Juniors.
Is he the guy that'll fill that?
Is he the guy? That's the big question. He played very well in the Czech Republic this year. And as I said, you know, playing in Buffalo, you know, him and Filip Zadina were the heartbeat of that Czech team that ended up going to the semifinal. You know, Netisch was very good. You know, you can already see that he can be that dynamic guy that also plays a 200-foot game.
Yeah.
So that's good. You know, 6'1", 180. Maybe he's a number one. Maybe he's more suited as a number two. And I think that's kind of the problem, Carolina, is they don't have a guy where you're like, okay, that's the guy.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have the Jonathan Taves, the Sidney Crosby, the Austin Matthews, the Connor McDavid. And I'm not saying you have to have the total elite guy,
but
at the same time, I feel you need to have somebody with that kind of definition. And I'm waiting to see if I think Netchis is the best option.
I get the sense, Ryan, that this guy's at the very least number two, though.
Totally.
You know, I mean, he's the sixth highest prospect in THN's future watch this year, so he's a good number two. You know, I mean, and in the absence of having a number one centerman, which is difficult to find, it's okay to have a couple of, you know, if you have three number twos, then, you know, you do it by committee. I mean, Nashville doesn't have a number one centerman, in my opinion.
Right.
In my opinion, Ryan Johansson is not a number one centerman.
Yeah.
Kyle Turris is not a number one centerman. Yeah. You know, so,
they're 1B guys.
I guess I wouldn't put... I would say Ryan Johansson's a number two guy, but I see your point.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you can build up a couple of number twos, you can build around them, and you might be able to make it work.
Yeah, and, you know, for Carolina, I mean, if that defense corps can turn it around, I think that'll obviously be a big help. And I wonder how much goaltending kind of exposed the defense corps in a way where maybe they looked worse than they actually were at times because pucks were going in.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're right. There's some nice players in this system. And
nice pieces there.
There's some nice pieces. Vogel, you know, he's a left winger. I think he can be very good because he's powerful.
It's pronounced Vogel?
I'm pretty sure it's Vogel.
Oh, I thought it was Fogley.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty sure it's Vogel.
Not Fogelin, like Leaf.
Definitely not.
No. Okay. Yeah, okay.
You know, Yanni Kuokkanen, who, you know, playing in the pros already. He's only 19 years old. Because he was drafted out of Europe, he didn't, you know, he played 1 year with the London Knights, but he was able to go to the AHL. I think that helps. Kuokkanen is another one of those guys where, you know, he could be a number two center. I thought he was one of the few players for Finland at the World Juniors that kind of played above his station. So and that's a positive thing there. It would also be nice to see some growth from Julien Gauthier.
Growth? What do you want growth from him?
In his game. Yeah. He's already 6'4".
Yeah, 6'4", 220.
Yeah.
To me, it's like if he doesn't make it, at least he'll be a good addition to the team calendar.
Yeah, there you go. He had kind of a rough first year of pro. And, you know, I think when you're that size, sometimes you do have to rethink your game at the pro level because you're no longer the biggest and strongest guy out there. You can't rely on that. And a wake-up call can be good. So with Gauthier, obviously there's still time. I mean, he's only 20 years old. But we're gonna see him in Charlotte for a bit longer. Another one to mention before we move on from the AHL is Nicholas Waugh, who another player that got a call-up at the end of the year. And I think, you know, he's kind of the heir apparent to Jordan Staal. Doesn't have the same offensive upside, but he can be your shutdown guy.
Another big guy, too. Another big guy,
yeah.
I mean, if you can't be good down the middle, be big down the middle.
Yeah, so I think, you know, he's your third line shutdown guy of the future if he can keep developing that way. But he's a good option there.
Okay. There's not a lot of major junior texture to this group, but, you know, obviously the one guy that I think everybody is looking forward to seeing what he can do is Jake Bean. Again,
right.
on the theme of undersized skilled defensemen, obviously he's another one of these guys, a guy who, I don't know, Ryan, I'm not sure if he's shown enough since he was drafted. Like, I would have thought he would have showed more by now. But maybe that's just me.
No, I hear you. I feel like, you know, like at World Juniors, you know, you would look at Canada's lineup and like, oh, they have all these guys. They got Jake Bean. And then Jake Bean was just kind of like there. I will say that since he got traded to the Tri-City Americans, he's been very good for them, particularly, I mean, they have been a steamroller in the playoffs so far in the WHL. And Jake Bean has looked good. So that's positive for him. But I agree where, you know, I think his first year of pro next year with Charlotte is going to be big. And I would expect him to log big minutes. I want him to make a big impact, like a Sammy Niku. You know, I expect him to put up points and really sort of take the driver's seat there.
Do you think he can jump into that defense and play next year in
In Carolina?
Yeah. Like, you got the top four. You got Hayden Fleury. Then
you got Roland McEwen. Yeah. I would prefer...
Yeah, I think it's probably the preference of everyone, including... well, maybe not Jake Beam, but including the Carolina Hurricanes, is to give this guy a year or two in the minors.
Yeah, and because you have that young defense corps up right now that has so much talent, you have that luxury where you say to Jake Bean, we want you playing 25 minutes a night in Charlotte. Right. We don't want you playing 14 in Carolina.
Right. Right.
I think they have enough players that they can do that. And like I said, I want to see him dominate. Another player for Tri-City that's very interesting, Morgan Geeky. Again, just putting up a ton of points for the Americans in the playoffs. Mm. Going back to what we were talking about earlier, this is a player that's passed over his first year, made a big jump, really caught some eyeballs last year, and so far so good.
Yeah, and is there anybody else in junior that you're keeping an eye on, like Stelio Mateos or Hudson Elenuk?
Yeah.
I assume he's Pat's kid.
He is Pat's kid, and interesting note from Elliot Friedman this week that he is not going to sign with Carolina. He's going to re-enter the draft. So, you know, Elenuk taking a chance there. Had a good year with the Spokane Chiefs.
So what's the end game there, do you figure?
You know what? I mean, I can't speak to his situation particularly. Sometimes it comes down to the actual rookie contract, the dollars and cents, you know, because we were talking about Adam Askren in this same situation with Kitchener just the other week. So, yeah, I know what you're saying there. Sometimes it can be a matter of opportunity if these players look at a depth chart and say, I don't see myself, you know, beating some of these older guys that you've already signed to contracts. Because, I mean, teams, they only got 50 pro contracts these days, and you have to look at who's ahead of you.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I'm not sure about Elenuk motivations because this is relatively fresh news, but tough for Carolina because he had a pretty good year for the Chiefs.
Man, you bet on yourself and see how it goes, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, where he's drafted and when he's drafted, you know, it'll be secondary to how he develops over the next couple of years anyways. If he develops into a good, steady NHL player, he'll find his way regardless of whether or not it's in Carolina or somewhere else.
Yeah, and one more major junior player before we move on to the college guys. Jeremy Helvig, the goaltender for the Kingston Frontenacs in the OHL, came back as an overager. Wasn't necessarily because he needed to be there, skill set wise, but Carolina's pipeline, which also includes Callum Booth and Alex Nedeljkovic, you want these young goaltenders to get starts.
Yeah, and you end up getting jammed up as a goalie, right?
Yeah.
Like, you got your two in your big team, you got your two on your minor pro team, and then you're looking at your East Coast League team. So,
yeah.
I mean, I get that.
Yeah.
They've always, the Hurricanes have always been pretty active with NCAA guys. What do you see in their pipeline in terms of college guys?
Well, they got a couple of guys right now that I think next season is going to be big for them, starting with Matt Phillippe with the Northeastern Huskies. Now, Northeastern was pretty top-heavy this year, and we talked a lot about Adam Gaudette and Dylan Sakura and Nolan Stevens at their top line. They're all gone for next season. So for Phillippe, I think, you know, he took a bit of a step back offensively as a sophomore, but now he has a chance to make more of a dent with Northeastern as a junior. So I'm interested to see what he can do. Skilled guy, plays with a lot of grit. So I think he could be a really nice bottom six guy if he really develops. Maybe he's even, you know, the third guy in your second line. But right now I would say he could be a pretty good energy guy with talent. Another player of a similar ilk, Jack LaFontaine, another netminder, playing for the University of Michigan, was playing with Hayden Levine, a fellow sophomore. Levine had the better stats this year. So LaFontaine, he's going to have to earn it. And a lot of good potential in this kid. I've been following him for a couple of years, you know, going back to his junior days. And, you know, there's a nice frame to build off there. It's just a matter of getting results. And I think, you know, being at Michigan, he's with a good program. They had a lot of success this year, particularly in the second half. And they got some nice players coming in. So LaFontaine, he's going to have to work for his starts. But a little competition never hurt anyone.
Yeah, well, and so, you know, I mean, with a team like Carolina, certainly took a step back this year, I think, in a big way. So who knows? There might be some openings there next year for some of these guys to maybe not play at the NHL level, but to get a better look at at other levels, and you know they might be looking for a new look, particularly up front, I would think. Fogle, I think, and Zykov are two good places to start because they came in this year and they actually showed they could play, so we'll see what happens with them. And we'll see what happens with the Hurricanes as we move along here. It's been a slow and not terribly steady climb for them, so so we're hoping for better things for them in the future. That'll do it for us this week. So join us next week when we'll have, I'm sure, a whole bunch of other great stuff to talk about with the Major Junior Playoffs going on. Calgary will be the Calgary Flames will be our team. And, I'm sure that in the next 7 days there will be somebody that does something that gives us something to talk about. So we'll see you then.
Boom.